The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and who followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I say the invisible gorilla video, I'm hoping that you've seen it before. It's one of those studies that the result is too good to actually check it again. The first form that I saw it in was a video of people passing basketballs back and forth. The people watching the video were told to count the number of passes that they saw. But while the people were passing back and forth, a guy in a gorilla costume walks across the screen. He usually waves, beats his chest a little bit, and then walks on off. The test conductors come back in, and they ask him two questions. First, how many passes did they see? And then, did you see the gorilla? Roughly half miss the gorilla. The point is to demonstrate attention blindness. If we're focusing on other things, we completely miss even the fantastic other that goes on right before our eyes. I think it's a fantastic example of how God interacts with us. This is the season of Epiphany. And epiphanies happen around us all the time. The love of God is manifest to us in many and various ways. But we have tasked ourselves with many and various tasks. Sometimes we've tasked ourselves with providing for this body and life. And that task can scale from the extremely simple, can I pay for this month's rent, utilities, and food bill, to the grand, can I accumulate enough to retire, to take a nice vacation, to get a Mercedes-Benz? Maybe the concern is our health. Get your exercise, take your vitamins, get the right drugs, find the right doctors. Maybe the concern is status. Did I get passed over for that promotion? Did I get rejected? Or did the right people notice this to give me an award? But it isn't just this body and life that we task ourselves with. It's now an old movie, but you've all seen Forrest Gump. Lieutenant Dan, getting to that lowest place, starts ranting about, "Did you find Jesus? Have you found Jesus yet, Gump?" To which Gump, always the wisest man in the room, responds, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." God is often that guy in the gorilla suit, walking right in front of us while we miss him because we're pursuing everything else, maybe even pursuing God. I think John the Evangelist's tale of John the Baptist is like that. John has come baptizing, and the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem come out and they're grilling him. "What are you doing, John? Are you the Christ?" To which John answers simply, "No." "Are you Elijah?" "No." the prophet. No. Well, who are you? We've got a job to do. And we've got to go tell those who sent us who you are. And at that point, John points at the gorilla. I'm the voice in the wilderness. Make straight the paths. You guys know the scriptures. Open your eyes and see, not me, but what is coming right behind me. But they don't. They focus on the Baptist. If you aren't the Christ, why are you baptizing? Don't look at me. Look at the gorilla. One greater than I is coming right behind me. And the next day, John sees Jesus coming to him. Behold, the Lamb of God. Right here. The gorilla. He's here. This is the one that you should be looking at. This is the one that I spoke about. Why did I come baptizing? So that this one could be known. I didn't know him, but I was looking, and I saw, and I've told you, this one is the Son of God. Now, was anyone listening and watching? Well, not immediately, because it's the next day, again. And John's disciples are standing with him. They're still doing their thing. And John again sees Jesus as he walks by, as the gorilla crosses the screen. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And this time, a couple of the disciples heard. And they decide to follow the gorilla. Certainly, everything in the Word and the sacraments points towards this one. Shouts out, behold, the Lamb of God. Where do we find God? I baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You've been buried with Christ in baptism. Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God upon all of you in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. The church even marks its time by our Lord's life and our hope of the resurrection. Everything that goes on here is like John the Baptist's proclamation, behold the Lamb of God. Now, there are people who have been to church their entire lives and have managed to miss that. I'm not saying anyone here, but it happened. The church can just become a nice social club with nice ceremonies and nice words spoken. But like those from Jerusalem, never hearing the actual words, behold, the Lamb of God for you. Here is the grace and the mercy of God given to you. Here, God has made you part of his family. Here he has revealed himself before the sight of all the nations. See the Lamb of God. But I'm going to make a stretch here. Yes, there are people who have so deadened their eyes and stopped up their ears and hardened their hearts that nothing much gets through. I'm not denying that. But even in our colder, latter days, that spiritual yearning still remains in most people. We deaden it with our quests for this body and life. We sublimate it under health and wellness. We are restless and seeking, and often settle for novelty because it scratches the itch for a second. But the law is written on our hearts. In times of pain and in times of pleasure, and sometimes in between, we know that we ourselves are not enough. And we want to know what might be. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's right there. The gorilla in the midst of our lives, if we see. But this kind of epiphany doesn't stop with that simple knowledge. When those disciples of John followed Jesus, when they finally saw, Jesus turns and asks them, "What are you seeking?" And they answer him, "Where are you staying?" To which Jesus replies with that dangerous and cryptic, "Come and you will see." And they probably meant, where was he physically staying? Do you have room for us for a while? Can we sit and hear your teaching, Rabbi? Can we kick the tires, see what John was talking about? Maybe, since it's getting late, have a place to bunk for the night? But they didn't know the danger of their question. Where are you staying? Because the true answer is in your hearts. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and when you open the door and let him in, he stays. We might think that is us that we have been seeking. We might think that we've been the ones that are trying to find it. We might think that we're the ones that have seen. But like that gorilla, he's been there all along, in plain sight. Christ has been with us all along, and Christ continues to abide. Come, and you will see. There's the initial epiphany of beholding the Lamb of God, but there's also that continuing epiphany of the life of discipleship. Come, and you will see. And those are the first words to the disciples. They will see everything, from water turned to wine to Calvary. They will see the rejection by his own in Nazareth, to the Gentiles coming in and asking, "We want to see Jesus." The call to discipleship promises one thing: eternal life. Or maybe at this point we should simply say life with God. The life of discipleship promises that God shall come and abide with you. Where are you staying? At your place, Zacchaeus. At your place. Everything else is come, and you will see. As our hymn of the day would say, the devil can offer you, at least temporarily, wealth and pride and fortune's tie. Only Christ offers the love of God from which nothing can sever us. Come and see, and you'll see the power of the love of God. Amen.